This is a really exciting week because, as has already been mentioned, we're starting a new series on Joshua, which I've titled Closeness with God as the whole kind of theme that we're going to be touching on. There is a lot to cover in Joshua. It is a very deep book with lots of connections to Jesus and many challenges for us as 21st century Christians as well. So as we dive into it, would you just join me in a moment of prayer? And then we're going to read together and look at what this book has in store. So Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity we have to gather and worship you. Thank you for the songs that we have sung, the prayers that we have lifted to you, and now the words that we get to read from your word, Lord. Would this time just be your words and not my own? Help us to see you through this text and see the challenges and the encouragements that you give to us through this old book. Thank you, Lord, for how you are working not only in this place but around Australia, and that we got to be a witness of that over these last few weeks. And I pray that the encouragements would continue to reveal more of the work that you are doing in and through this community. So we thank you for this time together in your name. Amen. We're going to look today mainly at the background of Joshua, but we are also going to go through Joshua chapter 1. So if you'd like to turn to that, we're going to read that together. I was going to get Chris Coates to come and read it, but apparently it's his birthday today, so you can text him happy birthday, but he's not here, so I'm going to read it out. We're going to read Joshua chapter 1 all the way through to verse 18 together. It says, Joshua installed as leader. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. They answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So for a bit of context on what we've just heard, Joshua is the first of the historical books as categorized in the Bible. It follows on from the Torah, the first five books, or as other languages like to call it, the books of Moses. As I was learning German, it's just called 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Moses. And this sets the scene for the Israelites' conquest to live in, and then the stories of their lives in the Promised Land. Joshua is the story of the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham in Genesis that his offspring would inherit Canaan. And it also concludes the wandering in the desert from the past 40 years. And Joshua picks up exactly where Deuteronomy leaves us, straight after Moses' death. In Deuteronomy 34, right at the end, we read the following. Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah, as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev, and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of Palms, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. Joshua was chosen during Deuteronomy 31 to be the successor of Moses. And this was because, as we read in Numbers 27, he was a man in whom was the spirit of leadership. Earlier in Joshua's life, he was simply known as Hoshea, as we read in Numbers 13, which means salvation. However, Moses later changed his name to Joshua, which means the Lord saves. We also read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, that the Greek form of the name Joshua is Jesus. And as we're going to talk about later, this connects the work of Joshua as an image of what Christ would later do, overcome the powers of evil and bring God's people into their rest in promised land. The book of Joshua, however, isn't just one of history and facts, as we read in some other earlier books, but it is full of challenges for us as believers on how we trust the Lord, our dependency on Christ, our relationship with God, and ultimately it is a picture of how we need closeness with God through every situation in our lives. And that first reminder of this is where we're going to be focusing today. The simple yet deep command that the Lord gives to Joshua to be strong and courageous. From verse 5 of what we just read in Joshua 1, it says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I can almost guarantee that you have heard a message on this topic before. Maybe it was in Sunday school, or maybe it was at a church, maybe in a moment where you have been facing trials and difficulties. Be strong and courageous. It seems pretty simple, but let's look into what it actually meant for Joshua. Because leading up to this, in verses 1 to 4, the Lord had laid out the plans that he had for Joshua heading into Jerusalem, into the promised land. It was a map of where the Israelites would later settle. But this wasn't just a land flowing with milk and honey. This, as the Israelites would soon see with their own eyes, is a land full of big battles that they needed to face. Beginning with the most fortified citadel in the known world, to giants, armies, and even tiny battles that became big when the Lord wasn't placed first, Joshua knew that there were going to be trials ahead, yet he didn't know exactly what those trials would be. So before they even enter the promised land, the Lord is commanding him to be strong and courageous. We see this exact same command show up three times in Deuteronomy 31 as well, as Moses is speaking to the Israelites and to Joshua, and there the Lord reminds him to be strong and courageous. And this is repeated multiple times throughout the book of Joshua, four times alone, just in chapter 1. But I don't just want to go down the Sunday school route of saying, be strong and courageous, don't worry, be brave, it's going to be okay. Because there is so much more to it than that. So firstly, we're going to look at what the Hebrew words for strong and courageous actually mean. In Hebrew, the word used here for strong is chazak. It means to fasten upon, to be constant, and of course, to be strong. There are many sub-meanings for the word, and it appears 290 times across the Hebrew scriptures. In our case here in Joshua, the Lord is instructing Joshua to be firm, not just in how he leads, but to be strong, to be consistent, to be steadfast and firm in the Lord. Interestingly enough, the word chazak is the exact same word used when the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. So this word can also be used in a negative way to mean being stout or rigid would be the best English words for it. So it's interesting to put into context what the different words can mean. And I won't go into a lecture of Hebrew word endings and beginnings, but by changing one letter, you can change the whole meaning of the word. But in this case, the Lord isn't just telling Joshua to work out, get stronger muscles, put on some better armor. The Lord is instructing Joshua to hold fast to him and to constantly look to him in times of trouble. This was an assurance that there was going to be troubles, but an assurance that the Lord was in control. So that is being strong. So what about courageous? Well, similarly in the Hebrew, the word is amets. And it's very similar to strong. It means to confirm, to fortify, and to be steadfastly minded. So again here, the Lord is saying to Joshua to hold firm to him, to fortify himself and all of Israel in the Lord. What's interesting about this is that be strong frames lots of transitional moments for leadership. Like we said, four times in Deuteronomy 31 and another four times in Joshua, Moses and the Lord charge Joshua to be strong and courageous. When Joshua is told that he will be placed in charge, and when he is placed in charge, the Lord gives him this command. However, in each setting that it is said, this isn't the end of the message from God. He's not simply saying, be strong and all's going to be fine. Because if we read through Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." The Lord has challenged Joshua to be firm, to stand strong, to have courage and be steadfastly minded right before going into this place that he can see is full of big troubles. And that seems like a pretty impossible mission, especially to us when we know the things that Joshua is about to get himself into. But each of the times that the Lord calls him or somebody else to be strong and courageous, that strength is not self-generated. It is grounded in the promise that the Lord is with him wherever he may go. It is not self-generated strength. This exact same challenge to be strong is given to Hezekiah right before he enters Assyria in 2 Chronicles 32. And it's also given to the returning exiles to rebuild the temple in Zechariah. The divine greatness and the strength of God with his people when they place their trust in him. And this is an ongoing theme throughout the whole book of Joshua. And spoiler alert for the upcoming weeks, but we see this roller coaster of victories and losses throughout the whole book of Joshua. When the Israelites follow the Lord's instructions and trust in him for the victory, we see the victory be won. When they forget his promises or actively disobey him, as we see in the Battle of Ai, even the smallest battle is lost. And this is, again, a topic for future weeks, but let's not fall into the trap of thinking that the Lord is just going to provide whatever we want if we trust in him. Because that's the core of the prosperity gospel, and we're not for that here. The Lord here is proving that he knows what ways are best, his ways are best, and he knows what the Israelites need. Similarly, he knows what we need today. And so the challenge out of this is, do we trust God's ways? Or do we try and do God plus? As we're going to read in a few weeks' time, One of the soldiers disobeyed the Lord's instructions on what to do with the plunder of Jericho. He kept some of the gold and some of the good for himself. The next battle that they fought was against a tiny little town called Ai with a tiny little army. And the Israelites were beaten to a pulp in that. All because someone disobeyed God's direct orders. This picture of trust bringing good fruit is a challenge to us to not go our own ways, especially when things may seem like an impossible hurdle that we could very easily just walk around. Like the Battle of Jericho was to the Israelites, we need to know that we have a Heavenly Father who will provide the things that we need to overcome it. And the main thing that we need and that we have is Jesus. Just like the Israelites may have been confused at why God was telling them to walk around the city every day rather than attack it with trebuchets and arrows and everything, God knew the way that would bring him glory and bring them the victory. And the same goes for our challenges today. We're going to take a little sidebar here, and if you would turn with me in your Bibles to the New Testament, we're going to have a look at John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, Jesus is explaining to the disciples how he is going to die, but the disciples' grief will turn to joy. Probably a pretty harsh explanation to be given, and one that would be hard for them to understand, especially seeing what's about to happen to Jesus. But it's at the end of John 16 that I want to focus. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This sounds pretty familiar to me. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. While it's not a direct copy of what was said to Joshua, Moses, Hezekiah, and the exiles, this word from Jesus is the same sort of challenge to us and to his disciples as the original message would have been to Joshua as he stepped into the promised land. And let's go one step further and have a look at the Greek. And I love looking at the root words, not just to see if I can pronounce all the fun, funky letters, but because it really does help bring out the deeper meaning than what we have in our weird, simple, yet complicated English language. The Greek word for take heart, for the phrase take heart, is thaseo, which means to be of good cheer, to have courage, and as Help's word study says, thaseo, showing boldness, is the result of the Lord infusing his strength by the inworking of faith. Thaseo is the result of the Lord infusing his strength by the inworking of faith. Jesus was the ultimate fulfillment of the Old Testament covenants, an example of how each of the stories in the Old Testament points to God's goodness, mercy, and knowledge of what is right for his children. At the very beginning of Joshua, the Lord is instructing Joshua on what is to come. In the world that he was entering, which looked a little something like this, he will have troubles. He will have battles, but he can take heart. He can be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with him, and the Lord has already overcome. Similarly for us, in the world that we live in, we may have troubles, but we can take heart. We can be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with us, and he has overcome. As the Lord says right before they start walking around Jericho, the battle is already won. He has given Jericho to Joshua at this point. Joshua just needs to follow his commands and trust that what the Lord provides is right for him. And this is a challenge for each of us. As I said earlier, I'm sure you have heard "be strong and courageous" so many times. I've seen it plastered on walls, mugs, aprons, cards, computers, pencil cases, laptop sleeves, frames, anything you can basically print on, somebody's put Joshua 1:9 on it. And that's not a bad thing because it is a challenge and an encouragement from God. But the question that we need to ask as we think about and read this is our strength self-generated or is it grounded in the promises of God? We read further about this in Ephesians, verses 6 to 10. Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So the obvious next question is, how exactly do we do this? How do we rely on the Lord's strength? Well, the Lord also tells Joshua how to do this in the following verses. In Joshua 1, verses 7 to 8, he says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." In Joshua's time, it was to follow the full law that Moses gave them. And for us, with Jesus as the fulfillment of that law, we need to remember to not turn from him to the right or to the left. I love that image. And to help visualize it, this is a map of just the highways I covered over the last 4 weeks. This doesn't include going up to Silverton and across to areas. This is a very small amount. So for the last 4 weeks, I spent over 40 hours following a GPS, 55 hours if you include all of the pickups and all of the side journeys and adventures that we went on. If I turned left when I was meant to continue straight on the Cobb Highway from Wilcannia to Hay, I'd end up in Dubbo rather than Wagga, which is a big mistake. If I turned right, leaving Torquay, rather than going straight along the Great Ocean Road, I'd end up in Bendigo, rather than South Australia. I hope this image shows you what the Lord is challenging Joshua and each of us with. Do not turn from it, or in our case, Jesus, to the right or to the left. If our destination, if our goal is Jesus, we can't turn away from that, or we're going to end up somewhere totally different. And this applies to all things in our life. Maybe you hear the Lord calling you into something, but you just totally choose to ignore it. When we give into temptation and miss that mark, we shouldn't just do this to be successful, like the promise was to Joshua, because likely we're not going to go into a giant fortified citadel with lots of people who want to kill us. We should, as Luke 9 says, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. But not only does God say not to turn away from him, he also says to keep this book of the law always on Joshua's lips. Meditate on it day and night so that he may be careful to do everything written in it. And again, this is a challenge for us. How many of you sometimes struggle to simply read the Bible some days? I know I do, and even over the last 4 weeks, I'd be so caught up in doing practical ministry that I forget to have my quiet time with the Lord. I'd be getting up at 7 and picking up students and taking them gardening and dropping them off at 10 p.m. and be like, okay, it's bedtime now, that I didn't have any time to actually spend with the Lord. And so God's challenge to us here is to keep his words on our lips, to meditate on it day and night. And again, in Joshua's case, it's to remember the Lord's goodness and strength as he goes into battles, to remember to stick by the commandments that he had been given to stay on the right path, and to be able to show others what the Lord is doing. As Donald Medvig says in his Bible commentary, the Hebrew word translated meditate, hagar, literally means mutter. So when one continually mutters God's word to himself, he is constantly thinking about it. For us in the 21st century, it's also to remember the Lord's goodness, to remember his strength as we face trials, and to remember to take heart. For Jesus has already overcome the world. As we spoke about, Joshua was told before the Battle of Jericho, and we know through reading the Old Testament, the battle has already been won. And so when Jesus died on the cross, the ultimate battle was won. Death was defeated, and we get to rejoice in that and live with the knowledge that the Lord continues to be with us no matter what we face. We are not saved simply by our obedience. It's not the following of the GPS that makes us saved. Under the new covenant, we are saved by grace through faith. as we are going to read throughout the later chapters of Joshua as to how their battles went, we know that the battle is the Lord's, and we still need to follow him, but we can take heart that he has already overcome it, and it is by his grace that we are saved through our faith. So what's our big takeaway today? It's to be strong and courageous, right? Yes, but there's more to it than that. Have a think on your life at the moment and the path that you are currently on. I've spent a lot of time chatting to the students over the last 4 weeks about where they're going next. We've been following a 5,000 kilometer path around Australia, and they have the whole world ahead of them. So think about your life at the moment and the path that you're on. How are you tempted to turn to the left and to the right? What areas is the Lord calling you into that you think personally are too big to handle or too tough to fight? And how can you turn those battles to the Lord? Secondly, is the word of the Lord on your lips? Challenge yourself, and this is a challenge to myself as well, to read the word each day, not just out of necessity, but to truly have his word on our lips. And finally, that question from earlier, is our strength self-generated, or is it truly grounded in the promises of God? As we started mentioning a few weeks ago, we really want to start using the Bible app as a way to continue reading Joshua together outside of the Sunday services. And next Sunday, I'm going to have details on a reading plan that you can do in your own time to be able to do that, or do it in a small group weekly Bible study. Speaking of that, and to finish off, we want to also expand the small group Bible studies that meet during the week, the community groups. Currently, we have a couple that meet throughout the week, but I know that there are many people that are not part of a group that would like to be, and there hasn't really been an opportunity unless you hunt someone down to ask about joining one. So I've got these forms that are over there next to Phil on the post there. And if you're interested in joining one, please fill this out, put as much or as little detail as you'd like. And then next week, I'll be in contact with some options that we have once I've caught up with the elders and the leadership team as well. But it is my prayer that you are encouraged and challenged by everything throughout this series, because together we're going to discover what it means to truly have closeness with God, not just in a physical sense, not just coming to church on a Sunday and singing some songs, but throughout our whole lives, through the joys that we face and through the struggles, through the massive Jericho-sized citadels we're going to face, to the tiny little things like the city of Ai. The book of Joshua teaches us the importance that in our daily lives, as we journey through it, the importance of reliance on God. And I pray that we will discover more of the Lord's goodness in our own lives and see the ways that he is working and fighting battles for us as we go through this series together. Would you pray it with me? And then Vicky's going to lead us in one last song. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you don't just help people in the Old Testament that we get to read about and wish that it was in our lives, because, Lord, you are with us. You have already won the battle. Help us to take heart knowing that you have overcome the world, and help us to fix our lives on you. Lord, as we face trials, as we start becoming overwhelmed, and as we get scared, Lord, remind us of your nearness. Remind us of your strength and help us to put on your strength and your armor rather than anything of ourselves. Lord, we thank you that you sent your son to die in our place. Thank you for the sacrifice that you paid by having him die on the cross, Lord. And thank you that he rose again, overcoming death, that we get to have a relationship with you through him. And I pray that we never forget the significance and the importance of that relationship, Lord. Would we rely on you each and every day? So we thank you for this time together. Thank you for all you have done and all that you will continue to do. In your name, amen.